If you would, please take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 12 once again. Hebrews chapter 12. And I want to kind of go through some things. I started last week. I've been going through the book of Hebrews. We got sidetracked on one topic and then another. But I want us to just kind of look at some things the Bible says that I think will be a blessing and hopefully will help us tonight. In Hebrews 12, let's see here. Let me get to what is pertinent tonight. We talked about this last week. He mentioned chastening. And so he said in verse 12, Hebrews 12, 12, he said, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees." And then he said, "Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." And he says in verse 14, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." We'll look into that a little bit later tonight. Last week we talked about the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, and how God's grace and His Word, His Spirit comforting us, will help us to stand when it doesn't feel like that we can stand. We feel like when we're weak. We have times when we're weak. We have times when we don't think we're going to make it. We have times we think, I don't know that I can do anymore. I don't know that I can go anymore. And sometimes the old devil gets us and gets us sidetracked and everything else. And then God will bring us back into His will, into His glory. And that's what chastening is all about. That's the love of God set upon His children. And so he said, "Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees." And he said, "Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." Let me just, as you're reading verse 13, is there anything from the Bible that's just come into your mind, something about straight paths? Does that ring a bell with anybody? Brady's got something in mind. Is anybody else? Straight paths. Is that ring a bell with anybody? We're going to look at some verses here in a little bit. Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 125. And I'm going to show you some things that pertain to this. Some of you may have thought of Isaiah. Oh, you had Jeremiah? Jeremiah 6? I didn't have Jeremiah 6. I had Isaiah 40. So, maybe you're right, and maybe I'm right. Yeah, well, yeah, if it's in the Bible, it's right. Amen. Psalm chapter 125, are you there? Say amen. If you're not there, we'll get there. Okay? And if you're doing what I'm doing, you got to get through Psalm 119 to get to Psalm 125. Psalm 119 is a lot of biscuits on that plate there. Psalm 125, "They that trust in the Lord shall be..." Now watch this now. I want you to notice the words of the Scripture. "They that trust in the Lord." Now I'm going to ask you tonight, where's your trust? Long time ago, you probably used to trust political candidates. Back when I was young, that's, "Well, I'm going to vote conservative. I'm going to vote this way, and I'm going to vote for this guy, and he's going to fix this problem." And the older I get, the less I trust him. Amen. I just don't trust them. So I don't put trust in political candidates or political parties, political movements. I just don't put trust in them. "But they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion," watch this now, "which cannot be removed, but abideth forever." Now I want you to think of just in the sensical realm of a mountain, a big mountain, like let's say Mount Everest or Mount, I think up in Alaska they got Mount McKinley, that's the tallest mountain in the North American continent. What's a big mountain out there in West Virginia? Name one, okay? Can't do it. How about, what's this mountain down here? Huh? Iron Mountain? Tom Salk? Okay? Imagine waking up one day, looking on the news, and the news is reporting that Tom Salt Mountain disappeared overnight. Gone. Doesn't exist anymore. How in the world does a whole mountain move? Okay? Actually, What did Christ say about faith? He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. And isn't it amazing that he's saying seed, and we know that seed is the Word of God. Your faith should always be attached to what God said. Your faith should always be in what God said. Amen? So that's kind of that picture there. Your faith as a grain of mustard seed. You have faith, just you have faith in the Word of God. You can say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. You say, well, I don't quite understand that. Let me kind of give you an example. Jeremiah 51 and Revelation 17, Revelation 18 talk about Babylon, that mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, that spirit that works contrary to God's spirit, Babylon being cast into the sea. So I want you to just kind of think about that. Think about things in your life that are trying to wreck your faith. Things in your life that try to wreck and ruin your relationship with God or your relationship with other people. But think about that as being that's what Babylon does. That's what she's good at. She destroys churches. She destroys marriages. Amen. She destroys nations. That's what she does. And one of these days, she is going to be picked up like a mountain and cast into the sea. And here Jesus is talking about that. If you'll just believe what I said, then you can have the faith to say to this mountain, be thou removed into the sea, and it will happen. And so, is it possible? Yes, as far as how the Bible talks. But he's not talking about the woman that sitteth on the seven mountains, Mystery Babylon. He's talking about the exact opposite of that. He's talking about Mount Zion. Mount Zion in the Scriptures. Of course, that's where Jerusalem is. But Mount Zion in the Scriptures is always a picture of the kingdom of God, the church of God. And when I say the church, I'm not talking about all the Baptists and all the Pentecostal churches and all the Presbyterian churches. When the Bible says church, it only means those who are born again. That's the only thing the Bible talks about when it mentions church. Now, people, we like to say, well, I'm going to church. Some people go to a church and they don't believe the Bible anymore. To me, and as far as the Bible is concerned, that's not church. And I don't understand why you call it that if you're not going to believe what God said. What are you doing there anyway? Well, the music's good. Big deal. Yeah, big deal. You can go to the honky-tonk Friday night and hear some good music. That's what you're wanting, all right? But he's talking about Mount Zion. And Mount Zion, God promised that Mount Zion, he said, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. And I will tell you tonight, fix your heart, your mind, your soul, your trust. Fix your trust upon the Word of God, and you trust the Lord. And God said, you'll never be removed. Amen. They can't hurt you. They can't take you away. They can't harm you if you'll trust in the Lord. I have been, and I'm sure you have too, but I just kind of like to talk about myself because I've been through a lot of things where I have questioned God. Question Him. God says to me, Mike, do you trust me? And then I realize that I didn't. I didn't trust God the way I tell everybody I do. Had a few issues. I'm not sure, God. And God just always has taken me very lovingly and confirmed in me, Mike, you can trust me. You can trust me. I'm the God of Job. Mike, you can trust me. I'm the God of Abraham, who at 100 years old fathered a child. Mike, you can trust me. I'm the God of Moses, who parted the Red Sea and gave people bread from heaven. Nobody to this day knew what it was. Mike, you can trust me. I'm the man that walked on the water You can trust me. I'm the living Savior that not only rose from the dead, but raised other people from the dead. Mike, you can trust me. I'm the guy, Mike, that wrote the Bible, and I preserved it, and it remains steadfast to this day. Mike, you can trust me. And I've learned over the years that God is right. Everything that He does, everything that He says, every way that He moves. And it's like the disciples being on that boat. When that storm's there. Old Reg Kelly came here and preached one time. He said, I'm going to give you the stupidest question out of the Bible anybody ever asked. Stupidest thing anybody ever said to God. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Okay? Of course, God cares whether or not you perish. But while the disciples were all going, I don't know what we're going to do. Here's Jesus, and He's sleeping through most of it. And they woke Him up. Master, carest thou not, we perish. And then He just very calmly said, peace, be still. And it was over with. Because I'm telling you that where the Lord is, not even the angry waves of hell can overflow that boat when you're on it. Somebody say amen. I like to pick out songs. I like old Southern gospel songs. And there's a theme in a lot of these songs called the Old Ship of Zion. You probably know some song that deals with the Old Ship of Zion. And I like that idea because that ship has been sailing ever since the day of Pentecost. And people have tried to sink it before and it never has. And it's still rolling on to heaven. Amen. But anyway, let's get back to this here. Which cannot be removed and abideth forever. Verse 2. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth, that means from this time, even forever. You know what the phrase henceforth means? It means right now, and then it means right now. 2 seconds later, it will mean right now, right now. Because we look in the Bible and we see what God did a long time ago. Okay, God, You did that a long time ago. And we look back at our life and we see what God did the days past and how God blessed us back then. But this Bible's telling you that God will bless you and God will compass you about like the mountains around Jerusalem from henceforth, even forever. So God's not just reminding you about what He's done in the past. What He's doing is that He's telling you, I'll still be here. I'm here right now. And oh, by the way, I'm still here right now. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what He said. And I think God's people ought to get a hold of that every now and then. And He said, verse 3 now, for the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. You know what that means? The rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. You know what the lot of the righteous is? Their lot is what they're going to receive in an inheritance. God, and you tell God thank you for this when you get to heaven. Tell God thank you that He's not allowing the murderers, the sorcerers, the liars, the thieves, and everybody that does evil into heaven. God is going to segregate that off. God believes in segregation. God believes in separation. God tells us to come out of Babylon. Leave Babylon. Stay away from there. And I would encourage you to examine your life. I'm not going to do it for you. I can't do it for you. You examine your life and find out how Babylon is influencing you. And then I would leave. I would get out of that. I wouldn't let the world mess my thinking up. Because remember, Babylon is going into the sea one of these days, but those who trust in God would be like Mount Zion, which is established forever. You see the context here that He's talking about. But the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Now verse 4. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. Verse 5. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. In this whole chapter, what you see over and over is, this is God's people. This is the world's people. This is God's way. This is the world's way. And so we go back here to Hebrews 12:13. Make straight paths for your feet. Why does God want us to have a straight path? Because He characterizes the wicked as walking in a crooked path. Crooked in the Bible means it's full of this. Okay? Now, who remembers being drunk? Some of you. Yeah, Roy says, I don't remember a thing. Yeah. And the dashboard camera, when the cop pulled you over, was recording for posterity when they were giving you a blood alcohol test. Yes. And what did they do? They said, see this line here? We want you to walk this line. We want you to put one foot in front of the other and walk that line. Okay? I'm sober and I'm not sure I can do it very well, but... Yeah! Roy's going, what line? And so, he ended up with his face down on the pavement so he could see the line better. Right? Is that how it worked? When you're drunk, how do they walk? Okay? They walk like that. That is, and I want to ask you a question. Snakes. How do they get about? That's crooked. You know what our DNA looks like right now? It's two crooked things. So what are you getting at? What I'm telling you is, your flesh, you were born crooked. You didn't learn. I mean, you may have learned how to get good at it, but you were born crooked. You were born with a sinful, wicked, vile nature that needs to be shaved off of you so that you can inherit eternal life. This flesh, is God's not going to let it into heaven. It's not going to do it. The wicked inherit a crooked path, and they can't get around. There's some city, like you go to Oklahoma. Anybody ever been to Oklahoma City? Oh, they laid Oklahoma City out right and righteously. Oklahoma City is in perfect squares. 100 miles north of town and 100 miles south of town, and east and west, it's in perfect squares. St. Louis, they built around the Mississippi and the Missouri River. And so St. Louis is not easy to get around, is it? Okay? And you got one road, what is it? Gravoy that just cuts a little diagonal path all the way through? That's messed up. Okay? Well, it's a beer town. What do you expect? Okay? But anyway, crooked ways. And those that are drunk walk crooked this way. This is one of those other reasons why I don't understand how a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ can stand in front of people and tell them, you need to be drunk in God's Spirit. I don't see how they do that. I don't see how you justify that scripturally when we know. And God brings these things to bear to us. He doesn't tell us to be drunk, for your adversary the devil walketh as a roaring lion. He tells us to be sober. Why? So we'll know that the lion is walking about seeking whom he may devour. If you're drunk, you will never know that. And drunks, I don't care if it's physical drunks or spiritual ones, they walk a crooked path. You know what the Bible says about the strange woman in the book of Proverbs, Mystery Babylon? Her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. That's what it says about her. That's what it says about those who follow that spirit. And God is telling us not to walk the crooked path. It's not a crooked path that leads to righteousness. It is a straight and a narrow path that God calls us to walk in. Let me get an amen out of God's people. And so that's what he said. That's for such that turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. You and I both know where the workers of iniquity go. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs is a... If you just want some really good, deep, moral and spiritual instruction, read Proverbs. Read it about 4 or 5 times. Okay? And then put it down, read some other things a while, and then go back to it. It's good, good, good stuff. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 11. In fact, let's go back to verse 10. Every time I see one of them little paragraph marks, I always kind of go back to that because that kind of begins the paragraph or the thought. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee and understanding shall keep thee. Now, all of this has to do with, and I think all of it fits in here, what we were talking about in Hebrews, about how God chastens a son and God deals with a son different than he does a lost person. God will chasten a son in order to bring him to repentance so that he can straighten his mind out so that God can give him instruction. When you're a parent or you are a child, but it's when you are a parent and you mean to instill things in your children, you might teach them, you might talk them a little bit, you might say, hey son, it's this way, now listen to dad, now do this and do this and do this. But you know for a fact at some point, they're not going to listen. What you're going to have to do is get the rod out, and you're going to have to literally, like my mom said, I'm going to beat it into you, boy. And that's what she would do. She was beating it into me. I'm going to beat some sense in you, and that's what she did. She didn't hate me. I didn't ever feel the compulsion to call Child Protective Services or anything like that on my mother, because she was doing what was right for me.
Amen.
Okay? She was teaching me that. Discretion. She was trying to teach me discretion. Discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. The greatest tool and the weapon that the devil has against 21st century church people is ignorance. As long as they're ignorant of the Word of God, you can tell them anything you want to. As long as, and when you go question somebody who's trying to keep you ignorant of the Word of God, you have the Word of God here. It says, well, you're doing this. The Word of God says this. The Bible says this. And I am supposed to trust God and not man. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Notice he's talking about the way of an evil man. The way that he walks, the way that he lives, the way that he talks, the way that he thinks. What he does on weekends, what he does at work, how he handles himself. The way of the evil man. From the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths. Notice here, we have these words, ways and paths. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Who remembers being in a well-lit tavern before? No. They don't put nice church lights in taverns.
No.
They keep them pretty dark, don't they? Something that occurred to me, and I was preaching down in Arkansas one time, and it dawned on me, one of the things that's going on right now in some of the big churches is that they're moving the young people off, you know, till they build a nice building out there for them or whatever, and they move them out there, and the young people have a service. And the only lights in the whole building are the lights on the stage. It's like a theater, you know, or some like a rock concert venue or whatever. There's no lights on, like where you guys are sitting. That's all totally dark. And then the lights on the stage is the only lights there. And what I caught on to that is because I absolutely believe this. I think a church ought to be a well-lit place to go and sit down. You know why? Well, we're well enough lit so you can read your Bible.
Amen.
Okay? And that's just how I see it. I'm not making that up. Because light is good and darkness is evil. And that's how it is through the whole Scripture. And so anyway, and I was preaching that one time, and a pastor came up to me and he said, Mike, he said, I want you to pray for me. He said, I agree with what you said. He said, I got a youth guy in my church. He said, he's a good guy, but I can see the influence in him. And he said, what he's wanting to do, he's I'm letting him have his little youth services. He's wanting them to shut all the lights off so they can have a youth service. And I said, don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. You say, well, that's nothing. It's an indicator, I believe, of a spirit. Because men love rather than light. And that's what you see universally throughout the Scriptures. So he says, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Verse 14. Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. That's your gay pride parades. That is your... and we're going to get into this. Cardinals. I mean, I like sports. I like the Cardinals. And boy, I like the... Did you see that game last night? That guy was within one out. He was a rookie pitcher. Was in one out in the last inning of throwing a no-hitter. Now, I like that kind of stuff. I mean, I think that's kind of neat. But you know what happens in these towns where these sports teams win, like the World Series or the Super Bowl or the Stanley Cup? You know what happens out after the game, don't you? They'll go out there in the streets, sloshing their beer and their whiskey all over everybody, turning cars over, and on and on and on and on. That's that kind of crowd right there. They rejoice to do evil, delight in the frowardness of the wicked. Verse 15, whose ways are crooked. Their ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. And then you back up to verse 10, because you're going to get the context here. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, then discretion shall preserve thee and understanding shall keep thee. And then you look down at verse 16, to deliver thee from who? The strange woman. Even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Politician telling you what you want to hear. Republican politicians telling you, we're gonna lower your taxes. We're gonna reduce your taxes. We're gonna take the burden off of you. You send us to Washington, we'll lower your taxes. That's what the Republicans tell everybody. Democrats go to the union halls. We're for the working men now. You vote for us, we'll get you new union contracts. We'll get you more money. We'll get you do this. Telling you what you want to hear. Telling you what you want to hear. Because they use you to get power to go there to do whatever they want to do. And you and I know it. Amen? Can I hear you say amen to that?
Amen.
You and I know it. Okay? She flattereth with her words. That's a politician. That's a salesman of some kind. I'm not against salesmen. But that's a salesman of some kind who's telling you whatever you want to hear to make a sale to you. That's a pastor who will tell you and talk sweet to you and flatter you and tell you how nice, how great it is that you're serving God. And oh boy, God just loves you and God thinks you're awesome. You are awesome. You are special to God. God couldn't do it without you. God just thinks you're great. And just flatter and flatter and flatter and appease you and say all kinds of things to you. Strange women will do that. A strange woman, of course, in the Bible, is a harlot. And a harlot will be with any man who's got a bankroll in his hand and who'll pay her. And when he pays her the money, she will tell him whatever he wants to hear. Oh, you're a good-looking man. Oh, you're a strong man. Oh, you're this and that and the other. That's what she'll do. And she is lying through her teeth. But she'll do it to take advantage of you and to get what she wants out of you. And I'll say this. This God had to really chasten me over this deal. As a pastor, Mike, that's not how it's supposed to be. That's not the calling I called you into. God had to work with me. But I'll tell you something. If you're somebody, now I don't know that anybody like that, anybody here is like that. But if you are somebody or you know somebody, they'll tell you whatever, you'll say whatever you think people want to hear just to get with them or just to get some kind of favor out of them or just to get something out of them that benefits you. You're not right. You're not right here and you're not right according to the Word of God. You've got a different spirit on you that is not the Spirit of God. Amen? Her ways are crooked like a snake, like a serpent. God cursed the serpent to crawl around on his belly and eat the dust of the ground. That way is crooked. Ecclesiastes, let me just read a couple verses here and I'm going to ask you a question. Ecclesiastes 7:13, consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? Then he says in Isaiah 27:1, in that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. Now remember one thing. You are the child of Eve. As the serpent beguiled Eve, and she ate her way into sinfulness, you are her offspring, which means you're just as crooked as she turned out being. And what we want God to do is take His strong sword and punish Leviathan, that crooked serpent. I want God to take His sword, which is sharp, and it's a piercing sword, and one day start cutting off all this nasty flesh that I got on me, just like you would peel a banana, or you would pull the husk off of corn, or anything like that. I think that's what the picture of circumcision is. It's just getting the flesh off, getting it out of the way. And we have that image there of God just taking off that which is corrupt and no good. Because on the inside of us, there's a beautiful thing in there called our soul. And Jesus lives in our heart. Can I hear you say amen? So watch this. He asked the question, can you make straight something that's crooked? Isaiah 59:2, the Bible says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. By the way, I think everybody in this room knows this. I think you get a little bit cold on God. You get out in left field a little bit. Not doing what you're supposed to be doing, not living right. And there's a little bit of sin there. And you know what? And I know that positionally you're still a son of God. But even in offenses between people, like husbands and wives or children and parents, if the children have done something wrong, mom and dad are not so quick to go out and buy ice cream for them. Is that right? And we're justified in, you know, kid is acting like a royal terror. Now, can I have some ice cream? No. You know what? I am just not in the mood to be nice to you. I mean, I'll take care of you. You can still breathe my air. But as far as me getting you cookies and cake and candy and new games, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And in that manner, when we sin, there is something between us and God that needs to be reconciled. And it's not God's offense, it's ours. Needs to be put out of the way and taken care of. And always after any of my children had come, Dad, I'm sorry. Made it right? It's over with. Done. It's over with. Let's go get us something to eat. Let's go do something. And I'm all for that. But that's what he's saying here. And then he says in verse 8, the way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. And I want you to, this thing here in verse 8, the way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. I want you to get this idea of a path being cut through the woods. If it's a straight path, you can see the end of it up on the next hill, then you know where that path is going. But you're in the woods, and that path starts taking a turn into the woods and the trees. And you have to ask yourself the question, I wonder where this is going. I don't have a clue where this is going. And if you're on horseback and you're on a four-wheeler or something like that, you really shouldn't ride them very fast. Because they in Missouri, they may end abruptly at a bluff somewhere, and you're dead. But if you can see that path cut clear and straight through the woods, you can see for a mile or two or three way over there, and you know that that's the direction that you want to be in to begin with, that's the path you walk. Does that make sense to everybody? That's what he's saying here. But as long as you, in your life and in your ways and in your lifestyle, keep choosing this crooked path, how will you know whether you're going in the right direction eventually or not? It makes sense. So then he says in Isaiah 40 verse 1, comfort ye my people, saith your God. That's what I was thinking about a while ago. Speak ye comfort me to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished and that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Who was that? It's John the Baptist, wasn't it? He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Because God is not a snake. And He will not walk a crooked path. And if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for God's people. Somebody say amen. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked, listen now, the crooked shall be made straight and the rough places plain. God promised. The question is, can God take something that's crooked and make it straight? And he says it right there that he can. Isaiah 40 verse 5, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand. How long?
Forever.
This Bible is straight. It was straight when God gave it. It was straight 2,000 years ago. It was straight when Paul wrote it down. It was straight when John wrote it down. And it's still straight to this very day.
Amen.
Aren't you glad you don't wake up and God rearranges the Bible every day so you can't find something in there? That's not God does, is it? He leaves it intact, exactly the same. What do we see now in the churches? What are they doing, John? The pastors are getting up and saying, all that old straight book you used to follow, we're going to move some stuff around in here because it's not really what you think it is. It's not really the Word of God. Let me take you back here to some place you don't understand in Greek and Hebrew, and let me show you that that's really where the Word of God is. And that makes no sense to us. And it's not right. So God makes Isaiah 42:13, the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. God said that He would take an old crooked man like Mike Hoggart, making straight. What happens to us over time? Our back breaks down, our knees get weak, and while we was 19, 20 years old, we walked around like this, very cocky and very sure of ourselves. And the older we get, what do we start doing? Our back gets what they call a crook back. You know what? It's not straight anymore, it's crooked. The older we get, the more crooked we get. And God is able of that one of these days to get this off of us, to make us straight like a man should be. I think when a man deals with his family, he ought to deal straight with his family. Can I hear you say amen? I think when a man deals at work or in business, I think that man ought to deal straight when he's at work. I don't think you ought to steal time from your job. Amen. I don't think you ought to do things like that. I think that man ought to deal straight and be straight in his doings. I think a man ought to be straight in his dealings with other people, his neighbors, people that he does business with. You got a car to sell. I think somebody buys that old junk car you've got, I think you ought to tell them it's a piece of junk. Telling you what, you better, if you buy it from me, here's the tow truck number in case you're running any problems on the way home. I mean, I think you ought to be honest with people. I bought a car when Tommy was living with us. We went and bought a car from a guy. That guy ripped us off big time. He said, "Oh yeah, it's good. Everything's fine with it." That thing was a piece, and it fell all to pieces within 2 months after us buying it for him. Piece of junk. I don't know who that man was. I don't never want to see him again, except down at the altar one of these days, coming to the Lord. But I don't like dealing with somebody that's not going to be straight with me. If I go to the doctor, I want my doctor to deal straight with me and tell me the truth. Amen? You expect for me to tell you what's straight and true. We expect the same thing out of our God. God, tell it to me straight. Give it to me right.